Thank you so much for being here. Change of seasons, a lot of things going on here around the Kwun. So I've been busy, not able to put up a video every day, but I'm trying not to miss too much time. And you guys with your questions, keep them coming in the comments and in the emails, because they help me consider what I should do next as far as information, Buddhist information to help your practice. Let me know what that is, because I'm just winging it here, trying to help the vast majority of you keep your practice going. Today, I wanted to broach a subject that I haven't talked about in a long time, although there's some videos on this channel about the beads. I wanted to talk about them because the questions keep resurfacing about where to get them, as well as, you know, maybe what they mean and what they do. First of all, I'll address the where to get them, if I can find, I hate to start out on a negative, but one thing I hear a lot from people, and I got to credit Daisaku Ikeda for one thing. He's got an media empire. And somehow, I've noticed a lot of sites that I've researched Buddhism on simply are either non-existent anymore, or they just won't come up in searches, Bing or Google, or Dogpile, or whatever you're using. And it's hard to find real Buddhist practice information, Lotus Sutra Buddhist practice information, without all the results being SGI, SGI, SGI. And they are a polluted organization. So I understand your frustration. A lot of you say that to me. And I wanted to make a suggestion. One of the ways that I found a lot of study material without putting into the search bar Nichiren or Nichiren Buddhism, which isn't really a thing, or Lotus Sutra Buddhism, that will work. You'll get like a lot of Tendai information that way. But this is what I want you to pay attention to. You have to become a little bit better researcher. When you get all those Tendai results, notice the contemporary scholars, the writers, the books. And I would say to you that that search is going to work better on Amazon than it does on Google. And here's why. Amazon, the first 5 years Amazon existed, it was billed as and building a database of all the world's books. I remember the first years of Amazon, Amazon was going to be the world's library, that it was going to contain all the books of every, like the Library of Congress and their equivalent in other countries, that Amazon, if you were looking for a book or anything ever published, Amazon was your go-to. That's how it started out. I know we now it's the World Shopping Center, but For the longest time, the first few years of Amazon, it was about literary works, books. Consequently, if you do that same search for Nichiren or Lotus Sutra Buddhism or anything that you're looking for, like a good book to investigate, to read, sutras, so on and so forth, you will get large results on Amazon that, as far as I know, aren't polluted by Dasao Kulkeda. It's a much more democratic search, albeit by a very capitalist organization, but they have the information available. And I don't want you to stop there. What I want you to notice is that a lot of books will go to University of Hawaii. There will be an author, and if you chase that down, you'll end up at the University of Hawaii Religious Studies or Asian Religion Studies. That's a great resource. Then go to that website, bookmark it, and start researching their religions of the world and the specificity of Buddhism, and everything from Jacqueline Stone is there to a bunch of others. And you'll have high quality information, academic, scholarly information there. So bookmark that. Then you'll see Stephen Batchelor will come up on several books. And he's another scholar whose books, I mean, he has a bias, but he's also a very good academic scholar. So there'll be a lot of information there that will be useful. I can't think of other authors right now, but there are, and like H. Kern, I found Kern through Amazon. And then I found him looking for his name on Google, and then you'll come up with a bunch of stuff he's done. See, Google's still useful for that. But unless you tell Google, I don't want all that propaganda. I don't know how their IT department at Ikeda's media empire was able to take over all of the search results. But if you know what you're looking for, you'll get good results. So what I'm saying is use Amazon to dig into your sources, then bookmark those sources that you can go back to and find. Like even Nichiren Mandala, you're still able to find that within the search results, not at the top, on Google, but you'll find the books that they've published, the workshop has published, through Amazon. And that can take you to their website where you'll see a lot other things that you can dig into and bookmark that site. So you see, you have to become a little bit of a clever researcher. The same thing has happened with beads. There used to be a lot of quite a choice of different people, jewelers, who would make the beads. Now it's very hard. The people that I got beads from, they've all but disappeared on the internet. I found a few sources, and I'll give them to you. I ended up making my own because I got too frustrated with looking around trying to find anything. So I've made myself several sets of beads. And what I discovered in doing that is that I don't want to be a bead maker and sell beads. I'd like to be able to do that. But you know what? There's a lot of work involved in putting these things together. So I'd rather pay for what they ask. Somebody who has that side job or invested in it, and you jewelry makers out there or bead makers out there, you know what I'm talking about. It can be fun and entertaining for a while, but to do it consistently, personally, my arthritis and my dexterities, I'm turning into all thumbs. It's no end of frustration. So for me to build beads now is, well, a lot of daimoku. So, get to the point, Sylvain. So, before I talk about what's going on in these beads, there's a website, and I will post this. I will post this on the video so you can see it. Come on, Sylvain, where's your brain? There it is. you know, during this video, I'll post them up on the screen, and you can take screenshots and do whatever. But just so you know, all this information is on the threefoldlotus.com website. You go to the threefoldlotus.com and you go to the core study materials link, and you'll go to a page that's all frequently asked questions, and they're all buttons, and you'll see there the juzu or the beads, all about the beads, and lots of information there. You'll see a version of this drawing there, which if you can see it, and I will post that on the video so you'll see it better anyway. And you'll also see this this that I'll put up there. So I've got three links, not a whole lot, but three links that make beautiful beads, different cost ranges. Some are gemstones, some are wooden, whatever your preference there. And the one website is at nichirenjuzubeads.com. That's Nichiren. Juzu, J-U-Z-U, which is the what we call the setup with the beads and the little scarf and the little case that usually all comes in. I thought I had one around here to show you, but I don't. Anyway, so nichirenjuzubeads.com. The next one is you can look up Lotus Lion Design. They associate themselves with SGI, but they're not SGI. They're just practicing. But they have a lot of beautiful beads. And finally, an actual sectarian store, Nichiren-Shu, S-H-U, .org/store/juzu. So, you know, whether you, I don't know how much of the, I've investigated a lot of Nichiren-Shu, and they have a lot of scholarship, and they do a lot of good. They still, there's issues about their practice. Nothing like Shoshu, though. They're much more clear-headed about Nichiren's doctrine, but they still call it Nichiren Buddhism, which it isn't. But that may just be a Western thing, you know? Anyway, they make nice-looking beads, wooden beads. They don't have a great selection, but you know, they're a reasonable price. You can, of course, if you buy a juzu from them, you're supporting Nichiren-Shu, but, you know, that's okay. Like I said, they're doing basically good work. Unlike Shoshu or SGI, if funds were going directly to them, I would say stay away from them because, like, he needs any more support. Anyway, sorry, political this morning. Been watching a lot of political shows, so I apologize. Anyway, those are the only three where I saw beads that were noticeably done correctly. There are other sites where Nichiren beads or Nichiren mala beads will show up, different things, but they're not done correctly. So just to be sure, it's a perfect segue. From here, these three sources that I found are reliable so far. I want to talk about how they're made. You may even want to make your own. But for no other reason, if for no other reason, telling you about this will help you select correctly made Lotus Sutra beads via Nichiren's doctrine. Let's talk about the beads. Now, I made these, so these are... I've made several types. I have wooden ones that I use a lot. You normally see those hanging around my neck when I used to do the broadcast from my home. Now in here, I have some wooden beads, but because in this school, I often do all the major ceremonies, the birth and death of Nichiren, the birth and death of Buddha, do memorial ceremonies in here and so forth. I have a very, as you've seen in the intro, a very colorful kimono that I wear, which I made that also. And I have these beads. And the first thing you'll notice is that I've really distinguished the Bodhisattva beads out of this string of beads. I have 108 brown beads, and I have these clear bodhisattva, the four bodhisattvas, the leaders of the bodhisattvas of the earth, right? That's the center portion with those beads, and we'll talk more about that. Each end has a large bead, right? The mother and father Buddha's bead, that's Shakyamuni and Taho Buddha, right next to the beads at the string at the end that has two dangles on it. There's a small bead right off of the Buddha, and then it breaks out into two strands that are joined in the center. What do you suppose that's about? Right? That's the 10 worlds and their mutual possession. So all of the 10 worlds twice, because each of the 10 worlds has the other 10 worlds within it, right? So that's how we get 100 worlds. And then we have these large beads at the bottom that accrue reward or merit, benefits. And then these are just to weight down the end of the beads. You don't have to have these fancy dangles. Most beads just have a little palm at the end, a palm. At the other end, we don't have that little bead in the middle, but what we do is we break out into three at this end. Now we start talking about Ichin and Sanzen, and what we have with the five beads each together represent the 10 factors, right? Nyozei-in, nyozei-en, nyozei-kan, nyozei-ho, nyozei-honmak, kyu-kyo-to, right? That's all that the 10 factors are in these two strands of five. And again, they have merit accumulators and tassels. And then this other one, this is your, sometimes called a counter, but strand of 10 beads represents the final concept of Ichin and Sanzen, the three realms of existence, including the five components and their combination with the 10 worlds and 10 factors to render 3,000 realms in a single moment. So this is kind of it's a set of 10, but it's a set of 10 that represents the combination of these five 10 factors and at the other end, the 10 worlds. So you have these factors, the multiplier, including the three realms. It's kind of a catch-all counter set, counter, counting, kind of accumulation. And you'll notice it doesn't have merit at the bottom because it's a multiplier of these concepts. So this is what a proper set of beads should look like. By the way, this little bead here is basically you. This is your instantiation of Buddha right next to Buddha, and your samsaric environment of 10 worlds, right? All multiplying. These 108 are your earthly desires or defilements. You can look for a list of them. It doesn't really do you any good to know what each bead means. That's not how it's set up. 108, and I have a whole document on that posted on threefoldlois.com on the 108 number. It's been with us long before Buddhism. It's used as a multiplier to identify our samsaric existence, our earthly mundane existence. And these are everything from, these are your desires, right? And that 108 is just an ancient number that we use to identify that we have more desires than we're ever aware of. Because if you try to delineate 108 desires, it's kind of hard, but it pretty much hits everything that you could, you know, identify as a root desire. It's kind of like your lizard brain, okay? And then within them, we have these four bodhisattvas because they represent a purification of all those desires. Earthly desires are enlightenment, right? So the bodhisattvas are within that samsaric realm, you see. And all of that, because all of this is precipitant from karma, all of this represents different states of karmic existence all the way through to the 10 factors at the other end. And so that's how this becomes a multiplier of all of these states, these three states, and all of these variations on your karma to represent Ichin and Sanzen. And to further drive home that point, remember the two tassels go on the left, right? But we put a twist, one twist, so we get a figure eight. And then we put our finger in the other hand. Why do we do that? Because Ichin and Sanzen extends beyond this samsaric life. Ichin and Sanzen is the state of energy and work throughout the entire universe and beyond, right? Karma being energy and work. So anything that forms of potential energy that creates momentum, instantiation, manifestation, kinetics, anything that uses energy to then do something, work, is karma. So that's where we start with Ichin and Sanzen, from that spark. And then everything after it, the agglomerations and the combinations, innumerable, unfathomable agglomerations of energy that somehow in this moment makes a human. Well, that's why we say there's pre-existing karma that joins in with the female and male karma through the sperm and the egg to instantiate a third entity. That third entity exists because karma exists long before human exists. It is the works, the life force, the light, the process of work, karma, coming to existence. And it finds something with the right tendencies and the conditions for it to manifest. And that's you and I. That's why there's three in birth. Mom, dad, entity, infant, right? So you're not just your mom and your dad. And you're not just your own unique thing. You have characteristics, karma, work that's been done and infiltrated into the very unique DNA, or even sub that, of who and what you are, your perceptive universe, right? Let alone social trainings and cultural norms and all that. So, let me put these away. So hopefully you'll have a better understanding. Again, I'll put this up on the screen in a minute. You can go to threefoldlotus.com. Everything's free there. And you can download copies of this information and do your own research there. But that at least will give you an idea. I'll show you one thing that I found incorrect in a lot of suppliers of so-called Nichiren Buddhism beads. They will completely leave out this little bead here. Usually it's right next to the... I'll show you a different version. Put this back on. Oh, I'm so unprepared. It's a good thing I'm not a professional. I thought I had another set of beads here. Well, hopefully you may have a set of beads like that. I probably have them all inside. Well, they'll have the wooden beads oftentimes will have a very small bead attached right to the side of the larger Buddha bead. And that's fine, but it has to be there. If you're practicing Lotus Sutra Buddhism and you're not, I mean, that's you. That's your enlightenment. So if it's not there, then your beads don't represent the practice of Lotus Sutra. They represent something else. It's missing. I've seen that a lot in the Juzu, depending on who you buy them from. So be sure that you see that little bead there ahead of the two strands of the 10 worlds. Because if the 10 worlds are there and you're not, then the 10 worlds are something we experience in samsara. If you're not there to experience them, then what are the 10 worlds? It's broken. It doesn't work. So be careful when you select your beads or if you make them. And I appreciate those of you who've asked if I could make a set of beads. I used to think that was something I could do maybe a decade ago, but a lot has happened to my life and health in the last 10 years. And believe me, it would be very difficult for me to make beads now. So I'm glad I made these for myself some time ago. Anyway, so just a short video. I didn't want to go on and on, but I did want to talk about beads, where you can get them, how to identify the correct beads, and I hope you find a set that you can cherish and enjoy. Remember, it's an investment in you. I'm not talking money, but like a butsudan or a proper mandala, if you have to extend yourself in order to get those things, listen, what you're trying to accomplish is your highest potential. So, are you serious or are you not? So get the best beads that you can cherish. You're investing in your own enlightenment. And so make sure that anything you do, any cause you make toward your practice, make sure you can dedicate, your resolve should be at a level where there's a lot of dignity in your practice, because that's what it is. This practice is about your maximal dignity, value as a bodhisattva. So do it with respect for yourself, right? Namu Myoho Renge Kyo. Thank you so much for listening. I'll let you go. And please let me know if you're just starting out and there's something confounding you. Email me. It'll give me ideas on videos I can do. If you've been doing this a long time and there's this nagging thing that's coming up in your life right now, and you want to know, how do I deal with this with my Buddhist practice? What does the Buddhist practice say about this? Those kind of questions. Let me hear them, because they'll inspire me and direct me on how to be a better offer of guidance, sharing, research. Use me. Make me work for your practice. Believe me, I'll get tremendous benefit from it. So in that way, you're doing a lot to support this channel. Regardless of other types of contributions, your sincere contributions in practice are the most important. Okay? So let me know. Please take care of your health. Be kind to yourself and those around you. And I will see you soon. Bye for now. Hey, thank you for being here. Did you know there's a third way you can help support this channel? And it won't cost you a cent. Yep. If you are not able to be a patron on Patreon or use the PayPal me at .com at Sifu Sylvain, because you don't have the financial fortune to help support this channel right now, you, as I say, always support this channel by watching. But you can also help us grow so that maybe one day we can get over 10,000 subscribers and YouTube will grace us with monetization. It's not a lot, but if you can make sure you're subscribed and share a video, like a simple one, just go into the search criteria and type monk and you'll have a video that'll come up that's been up for years about what is a monk. You know, it's called monk, who, how, where, something like that. That might be a great introduction to somebody who doesn't understand what a monk is to begin with. It's a tool. Use this channel as a tool to help you with your Bodhisattva practice and share a video to somebody who you think, oh, I know somebody who'll benefit from watching this. And in that way, you can help us grow. And that's a really good way to help your practice along as well. So just wanted to drop that in on you in case that's something that you might find useful. Take care of yourself again, and I'll see you soon. Bye.